Well, hey everyone, Ryan here, Norfolk Campus Pastor, and the only thing I can say after that video is, you're welcome. You're welcome. If you would like to watch that video again, because it really is the gift that keeps on giving, if you watch like each staff member throughout the thing, you'll see all sorts of things. You'll see Kurt Mocha, our music director, you know, saying goodbye to the vacuum at our campus. You'll also see yours truly, you know, saying goodbye to his favorite wall on the kids' hallway at the Norfolk campus. If you would like to see that, that's on our YouTube page. You can go and search Grace Bible 757 on YouTube, and you should be able to find that video to watch it again if you would like. But we are moving. We're moving our Norfolk campus from East Little Creek Road over to Tidewater Drive over there in Norfolk. And what's interesting is as you're watching this on the day that this service is posted, this day, Sunday, May 3rd, is actually the day that we were supposed to have our first services in the new building. And so the coronavirus and the pandemic and social distancing has made that all a little bit more uncertain. I know a lot of people have been asking, when are you going to have your first service in the new building? Well, in some ways, your guess is as good as mine, because it all depends on what the CDC recommends and when the governor of Virginia decides to open things back up and whether that's a gradual thing or it happens all at once. We're still waiting to see. And maybe by the time you're watching this, we may have found out. Maybe we still don't know. But really, this coronavirus has made us all think about something a lot more that we always think about, but this has kind of pressed the nerve even more greatly, and that is thinking about the future, thinking about what I will call today tomorrow, thinking about tomorrow. What's going to happen? What lies around the corner? There's so much uncertainty. There's so much that we're not sure about. And when I say tomorrow, I'm, as you can probably tell, not talking about an Annie type of tomorrow, if you've seen that musical. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Don't audition for the singing team, Ryan. But we're not talking about that kind of hopeful, anything can happen idea about tomorrow. But I'm talking more about the default that a lot of us have, the default of worrying about tomorrow, of wondering about tomorrow. And so I just want to define tomorrow for us because it will be one of our themes today. When I talk about tomorrow, I'm talking about the needs that you have that may or may not be met at some time in the future. The needs that all of us have, all of us are wondering, are these going to be met? Are we going to be okay? Is everything going to be taken care of? And actually, I want to show you the first verse of the passage that we're looking at today in the book of Matthew. Jesus is giving a teaching, and he identifies this very thing when he's teaching his disciples. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, we're going to dive more deeply into this passage, but the first thing you can notice is Jesus is acknowledging that all of us have practical needs. In this verse, he mentions food, he mentions water something to drink, he mentions shelter, clothing, that sort of thing. We all have these practical needs, and we all need to find ways to meet those needs. And as you can see, Jesus identifies that many of these needs are future needs. There are things that we shall be wondering about. What shall we eat? What will we eat in the future? Tomorrow, as it were. And I do really think that COVID-19 has pressed this nerve so greatly right now for all of us. What's going to happen? What is around the corner? None of us really know. I was just thinking about it. In my world, I've been talking to a lot of people who've been planning their weddings for either this spring or this summer. And even those who've been planning their weddings for the fall, what does that mean? Is everything going to continue? Are things going to stop? Are things going to go forward in the fall? So people are trying to figure that out. Are they going to push their venue date back? Are they going to get married now and then have a celebration later? A lot of people making those types of decisions. I actually have one of my best friends from school. He was supposed to get married in June, on June 20th. And he ended up just this past week deciding to postpone his wedding and push it to September. And hopefully we can do everything on September 25th. But just walking through that with him, the stress of that, the decision-making of that, and that's kind of magnified throughout all of our lives. All of us are uncertain about what we should do about these things that are planned. Maybe you're somebody who has something that hasn't quite been canceled yet. Maybe you planned a vacation for July or August, and you're not sure, is that going to happen? Are we going to do that? We're all wondering about tomorrow. And the thing about this is that whether you're a person of faith, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, this is something we all have to wrestle with. What are we going to do to make sure our needs and the things that we've planned are going to happen in the future? And so we've seen already in our passage that we're going to look at today in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus is saying, do not worry. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is obviously in the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Matthew is one of four Gospels, these biographical accounts, historical accounts of Jesus' life. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is giving this sermon. He's giving this teaching to his disciples and all those who are there in the crowd. And he's telling them not to worry about the future, not to worry about tomorrow, about what's coming, about what's going to happen. And in some ways, as you read through the passage, it can almost seem like Jesus is being a little bit insensitive, right? How can you say this, Jesus? How can Jesus say this? You don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through. That's all good and well for you to say, Jesus, but man, this thing that's uncertain, these needs that I need to be met, they're really stressing me out. How can you just tell me not to worry? Well, we're going to continue in the passage, and I think it's going to become clear where Jesus is coming from. One of the things we do have to remember is Jesus himself was kind of a wandering rabbi. He didn't even have a place to stay. He had no bank account. So if we're going to listen to anyone, this might be a good guy to listen to because he knew what it was like to live in the uncertainty of tomorrow by having faith today. And so we're going to continue in Matthew 6, Jesus again teaching why can he say, do not worry about your needs tomorrow? Well, he says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. When it comes to your needs, when it comes to God providing for you, he is there and he is your heavenly Father. Jesus here, growing up in this Jewish faith, the God of Israel is your heavenly Father. He is going to take care of you. And he's addressing particularly people of faith in the God of Israel because he compares this to what our translations say is the pagans. The pagans. Now, the pagans is a translation of a word that other places is translated as the nations or the Gentiles. And what this is distinguishing is just those who are non-Jews. So Jesus here is saying those who aren't Jewish, those who are outside of the Jewish faith run after all these things. They also know that they need certain things. But you, people of faith, followers of our Heavenly Father, should know that God is in the picture. God knows what you need. And he's comparing and contrasting those who don't have God in the picture of their life and those who do have God in the picture of their life. And he's particularly addressing people of faith and saying, don't act like you don't have a Father in heaven who knows what you need, who cares about you, who sees the future and is going to be there taking care of you. I think even those of us who are followers of Jesus, we struggle with this, getting God in the picture, keeping him in the picture of our future. I want to talk briefly about one particular demographic, and that is single adults in our community. I'm a single adult. In our church, almost 40% of Grace Bible Church are single adults. Now, if you're a single adult, you may feel like, you know, you're surrounded by kids or by families or couples, but really, you're not alone. And I know just by reading the news and reading different articles that are being posted right now, people are interested in what is happening to single adults right now, particularly those who want to be married someday. What's happening to single adults? What's happening to dating? You can even just search online. There's all these articles about how coronavirus is changing the dating scene and changing how you find somebody. And for me, personally, this is something that becomes a question. Right? A question mark about the future, about tomorrow. How do you find someone now? How does dating work? I was actually just thinking the other day, one of the things that I've been doing during quarantine is every Friday night, I've been having a game night with my siblings, my three sisters. And they live different places, so it's been an awesome way to connect, and it's been an awesome way to just be together, even in this really hard time. And what's interesting is, you know, this theme of being single comes up because all three of my sisters are married. And so we're on this Zoom call together, and there's seven of us on the call, and there's four windows. And three of the windows have two people in it, three couples, three people who are married, and I'm the only one who's alone in my square, in my Zoom square. And it just presses this need. It makes me question, tomorrow, how is this going to happen? God, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to provide for my needs? I know you will, but this is this question mark. And why do I bring this up? Do I bring it up so you'll feel sorry for me? No. Do I bring it up so I'll have 3,000 people trying to set me up with their niece or their granddaughter? Well, no, I don't. I don't. Of course not. Of course not. I bring it up because this is what's real in my life. This is what's real and going on in so many people's lives right now, question marks about the future. And what if there's a God, a Father in heaven, who knows exactly what you need, who knows exactly what you're going through. And he not only knows, but he cares and he loves you. And he not only knows and he not only cares, but he can actually do something about it. He can actually provide for your needs. What if we get God back into the picture for those of us who are single? What if we get God back into the picture for those of us who are married and maybe you're dating and that relationship right now is struggling? What if there's a God who knows and sees what you're going through and wants you to grow through it, and he saw this coming and he knows exactly what you need? What if there's a God for parents right now who are struggling taking care of small children, who are struggling connecting with their teenagers? What if there's a God who knows and he sees and he saw this coming and he's with you in the middle of it? What if we got God back into the picture? I think about, you know, just thinking about anxieties and fears of the future. If you're somebody who, whether because of age or previous condition, you're more at risk because of COVID-19, man, anxiety and worry, that just rises up in us, doesn't it? What if there's a God who's in the picture? What if we acted like there was a Heavenly Father who knew what we needed? And if you're somebody who maybe has never even thought about inviting your Heavenly Father, the God who made you, into your life, maybe right now, as all this is going on, as you realize the powerlessness and lack of control that every single human being on planet Earth has, maybe this is an opportunity to invite your Heavenly Father, the one who created you, the one who made your soul, who knows what you need, to invite him into the picture, invite him into your life, and surrender. Not as some psychological crutch or some fantasy that's just going to make you feel better, but no, the one who's on the throne, the one who made it all, the one who actually can make a difference. And this reality of our God as Heavenly Father is one of the reasons that Jesus can continue in this passage and write this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus says, all these things, all your needs, food, water, shelter, the things of life, the stuff of life, the stuff that you need to make life happen, all these things your Heavenly Father has in his mind. God is your provider. And so as he takes care of your needs, you can focus on his. You can focus on his values, his priorities. Jesus says his kingdom and his righteousness. What does it mean, his kingdom and his righteousness? Well, a simple way to put that would just be first prioritizing God's values, prioritizing what he cares most about in your life. And one, you know, one kind of like hint at what that might mean is this word righteousness, which in many places in the New Testament is translated as justice. So in some ways, seeking first God's kingdom is loving those around us and having right relationships, whole relationships, healthy relationships with others and with our community. We could give an entire sermon just on this one verse and what it might mean. But when I think about this idea of God taking care of us, so that we can focus each day on what he's called us to and on his kingdom and his priorities, I think about something I'm pretty bad at. I think about something I'm pretty bad at, and I noticed this in a heightened way just recently as we were moving the Norfolk campus. I've gotten a few smaller groups of volunteers together, and we've gotten together, and we're packing things up, and I actually got a group of two people to come and help me pack my office. My office has books and a fridge and some furniture and, you know, cabinets and stuff like that, and they were helping me put all this stuff into boxes. And one of the things I realized during this moving process is that I'm really, really bad at delegating. I'm really, really bad at delegating. And it's not that I don't, you know how to ask someone to do something or know that I need help. I know that. That's why I invited these two volunteers to come and help me. It's just that once I say, hey, can you, you know, pack up these books, or hey, can you focus on this corner over here, I have a really hard time letting go. I have a really hard time not peering over the shoulder and just wanting to micromanage a little bit. Anyone else? Anyone else have that issue? You know, are you going to put that extra piece of tape on there? Are you sure you're going to pack it that way? Is that in the right place? Yep, right there. And I micromanage. I'm really bad at delegating. And this comes in other different ways, and I've been growing in that process. But I love this picture, for me at least, of what we often do with God. What we often do with God, particularly if you're a follower of Jesus, particularly if you're a mature follower of Jesus who's been walking with him for a long time, we're pretty bad at delegating, aren't we? We give God the future. We see the anxieties. We see the needs all around us and in our own life. And we say, God, I trust you. God, it's yours. God, I know you're in control. But what's the next thing we do? We look over God's shoulder. We micromanage. God, why aren't you doing it that way? God, why aren't you taking away this pain? God, why aren't you fixing this problem? We want God to do things the way we want him to do them. And we micromanage these things that we have, quote unquote, delegated to our Heavenly Father. And I don't even think this idea of delegation is even the right way to think about it, because if you look up the definition of delegate, to delegate is to entrust a task or responsibility to another person, typically one who is less senior than oneself. So we could think about this idea of focusing on God's priorities each day and delegating the rest, delegating tomorrow and all the things we could worry about to God for him to take care of us, our Heavenly Father. But I don't think that's really even the right way to think about it. Because in many ways, God is the one who's senior over us, really in every way. God is the one who delegates to us. And so how do we think about trusting God with what's coming, trusting God with tomorrow? Well, one of the ways I just thought about it this week was, we don't delegate tomorrow to God. We elevate tomorrow to God. We let it go. We say, God, you're in control. I'm not going to look over your shoulder. I'm not going to make sure you're doing it the way I want you to. I trust you with my needs. I trust you with what's coming in the future. We don't delegate, we elevate to God. We can sit here and we can have all the troubles and all the worries that come our way, and we can kind of dump them on to our Heavenly Father and then watch him and make sure it's all going to work out fine. Or we can have the freedom and the surrender of elevating those things back to him and saying, these are yours. And I think Jesus summarizes it perfectly in this last verse that we're going to look at today. He says this, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the needs, food, shelter, clothing. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need it. And what's interesting here is Jesus kind of does something that surprises me the more I've thought about it. See, I expected Jesus to say, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be fine. Don't worry about tomorrow, because God's going to meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Do not worry about tomorrow, because it's all taken care of. God is with you. God is for you. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus is actually a lot more realistic about all of this. And it's one of the reasons I'd encourage you, particularly if you're less familiar with the Bible, to read the Bible. It's not just a bunch of fairy tales. There's actually historical events, historical accounts, and then Jesus and so many teachers get right to the heart of human nature and right to the heart of the dynamics that you and I face in our lives. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry about tomorrow because it's going to be fine. He says, don't worry about tomorrow because, He says, don't worry about tomorrow because today, what you're facing right now has enough trouble. There's enough going on. There's enough to worry about today. So don't worry about what's coming next. And the way I'll put it for you is in this phrase, in this next slide. God has delegated today to you so you can elevate tomorrow to him. God has delegated today to you so you can elevate tomorrow to him. God has said, you're human, you're finite, you have limitations. And so I've given you today. You're bound by time, you're bound by space, and so what I've given you to do is right in front of you this very day. Don't worry about anything else. Don't try to lift your eyes and plan all these things about the future. All you can do is face the troubles and the worries that you have today. And when I say that God has delegated today to us, I don't mean that he's just given it to us and said, good luck. No, he's going to be there, present with us, strengthening us, sustaining us. And we can do that. We can take a break from the worry and the anxiety because and focus on today because we have elevated tomorrow to him. We focus on today and God focuses on our tomorrow. You face today and God frets about tomorrow. We receive today as a gift from God and we focus our eyes on it while we give tomorrow to him to take care of for us. Now, is Jesus saying we should never prepare or plan for the future? Is it kind of just this sort of hippie, laissez-faire, don't worry, be happy type of message? Don't worry about the future. Well, I don't think Jesus is saying this because we're not going to go back there, but in the verse, he doesn't say don't plan for tomorrow. He says don't worry about tomorrow. So how do you know if you're worrying or if you're just planning? Well, I want to take you to an example that I was thinking about, and that's grocery shopping, okay? Grocery shopping. Now, most of us, many of us, we go grocery shopping about once a week. And is Jesus saying that we need to go grocery shopping only for that day? We should only buy food for today, and we shouldn't worry about our needs tomorrow. We should only worry about the needs of today. Well, I don't think so. I think mainly just because grocery shopping is time-consuming, and you should probably just do it for a few days in advance. But Jesus, I think here, is saying, yes, you can grocery shop, but how are you going to grocery shop? Are you going to focus on the needs that you have that day? Buying food for the week, planning out meals that you're going to feed your family, making the list, going to the store. Those types of things are things that you can control today, things that you can face today. Or are you going to worry about everything that's coming that week? Is my kid, who's a little bit picky, is he going to like this meal? Am I going to have access to the oven, or is my roommate going to be using it at the time? All these things we could worry about food, about cooking, about preparation. Those are the things Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. That's tomorrow. That's in God's hands. You can't do anything about that today. Focus on today. Face what's hard today. And really the way that you can tell whether you're planning or you're worrying is, can you do something about that concern right now? Can you do something about that concern today? That's the difference between worrying and planning. If you can do something about it today, it's probably planning. If you're worrying about your financial future, if you're worrying about your career, your employment, whatever it is, can you do something about it today? Can you make an appointment with somebody who can give you counsel, give you advice? Can you apply for a job? Can you do something about it today? Well, that's probably planning. But if you can't control it, if you can't do anything about it, that's probably worrying. And so how do we do this? How do we see ourselves experience this kind of peace that Jesus is offering us? How do we focus on today and elevate tomorrow to God and really experience a life free, mostly, from worry? Well, I just have three kind of points of application as we close here today. I want us to change our self-quarantined mindset. I want us to kind of get in this mode of what Jesus is talking about as he talks about this idea of caring for ourselves, caring for our minds. The first one is to face what's hard today. What you can do to care for yourself during self-quarantine, as we're in this series, is don't give in to the lie of escape. The lie of escape. And I've noticed this so much so in my life, more so than usual during quarantine, this tendency to want to escape to entertainment, this tendency to want to escape to food or dessert. I've heard that alcohol sales have been going up across the country as people are tempted to escape, to mask their worries, to mask their fears. But God is calling us to face what's hard today. Not to ignore it, not to just wait for it to be over so that we can be home and without responsibility. But whatever that thing is that you're dreading today, whatever that thing is that you just can't face, would you face it? Would you embrace it as something that God has put in front of you and said, this is about my kingdom. This is me giving you responsibility for today. There's no other mom who can be a mom to that kid. There's no other spouse who can be a spouse to that husband or wife. There's no other employee who can do that job. There's no other person who can apply for those jobs with you. Focus on today and face those things that are hard as a gift from God that day. So face what's hard today. I'd also encourage us to focus on the needs of others. There's nothing that will help us get out of our own introspective worrying about our own lives and our own needs than seeing the needs of others and being a part of God meeting them. I'd encourage you, go to the homepage on our website and click Meet a Need. See the different ways that you could get outside yourself if you haven't done that. There's hundreds and hundreds of people who are maybe more inclined this way, but there's some of us, and I'm honestly one of them, who's much more likely to kind of circle the wagons and really focus on myself during this time, worry about myself. What if we focused on the needs of others, and how would that help us rise above the worries of tomorrow? And how would it help us focus our eyes on what God has called us to, which is today? The third thing I'd encourage us to do is just to find joy anywhere you can. Find joy anywhere you can. I was talking about even the hardest things of our day being something we embrace as a gift from God. How can you find joy in everything that you go through, everything that you face on any given day? I was speaking to a counselor one time, and he was talking about this theme of gratitude, this theme of thankfulness, and how this theme of gratitude really does change everything when it comes to your mental and emotional and spiritual health. And one of the things he encouraged me to do when it comes to listing what you're grateful for is try to make that thing that you're thankful for, the thing you're finding joy in, as small as possible. As small as possible, as insignificant as possible. So maybe you're thankful for a meal that you're about to eat or the fact that you have food on the table. He says, don't thank God just for the meal. Don't thank God, maybe it's a hamburger. Don't thank God for the burger. Thank God for the slice of tomato on the burger. And the more specific you can get and the more small you can get, the more you're going to see those opportunities for gratitude all over the place. And there are millions and millions of ways each single day that you and I can find joy. We can find joy even while we're locked in our homes, even while maybe there's tension in relationships, even while there's uncertainty about our financial and employment future. There is joy to be found today. Find it any way you can, anywhere you can, and be grateful that your Heavenly Father is providing for you. God has delegated today to you so you can elevate tomorrow to Him. You face today, God will fret about tomorrow. And one of the reasons we can trust not just this teaching of Jesus Now, Jesus' teaching is revolutionary. Jesus' teaching is incredibly authoritative, incredibly insightful into the human condition. Life-changing, these truths that we get as we hear what Jesus had for his followers. And yet, even more so, are we to be people who don't have to worry, who don't have to worry about the future, who don't have to fret about tomorrow because of not just what Jesus taught, but because of what Jesus did. You see, before any of us who are alive right now could micromanage God and make sure he was doing things the way we wanted him to and make sure he was taking care of all the needs that we're worried about, before all of that, 2,000 years ago, God came in person. He came to save us. He came to deliver us, and he came to welcome us into his family so he could be our Heavenly Father. And if he came and paid the ultimate price, dying on a cross for you and for me, dying for our sins, dying so that we could have a relationship with him, dying so that we could have a Heavenly Father who knows us, who cares about us, and who loves us, and who has the ability to help us. If that's what God has done for us before we even existed all those years ago, then we can trust that he's going to have tomorrow in his hands, and he's not going to let our feet slip. And I'd love to close today just with a special treat that we have, a song that's really spoken to me over the years. It's a song by an artist named Zach Winters. He's a singer-songwriter, and it's a song called Do You Really? Do You Really? And it talks about this idea of worry and uses some of Jesus' own words to talk about worry. He calls worry this carcinogen that kind of gets inside of us and eats us away inside. But there's one particular lyric that I'd love us to focus on. Towards the end, Zach Winters writes, "Don't let the worry of tomorrow get in to steal from us today." And then he kind of has this chorus repeated refrain, "Do you really want something else? Do you really want something else?" Now, I love that question because in some ways it's challenging, it's convicting. I don't think what this phrase is supposed to bring us is condemnation. It's not the question of a parent who's like, "Do you really want something else? Come on, I've already given you enough. You've already had enough." Not this frustrated question, but it's a question: do you really want something else? I'm your Heavenly Father. I promised to give you grace today. I provided for you, and I will provide for you. What else do you need than that promise? What else do you need than that truth? That you can elevate tomorrow to your Heavenly Father, and you can focus your energy, your gratitude, your heart on what's in front of you today. And so I'm going to pray in just a moment. We're going to reflect on this truth, and I encourage you to think about how God is leading you to respond, to face what's hard today, to focus on the needs of others, and to find joy anywhere you can. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together. I thank you for the teaching of Jesus. I thank you for this truth that you are our Father in heaven, and you love us, and you care about us. So God, particularly for those of us for whom anxiety and worry is a daily struggle, God, would there be breakthrough this week? Would there be breakthrough even as we pray together across this fourth wall? God, would you come with your presence and your comfort and your peace, and would you help us let go of tomorrow? Help the roots of anxiety, the roots of fear that are digging into our hearts, God, pull them up by the root and help us to trust you. Help us to experience the freedom of focusing on today, what you've given us to do, and elevating and trusting you with tomorrow. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do this week. We thank you for all the ways that we're going to see you this week. And I pray for those who maybe haven't had you in the picture, who haven't experienced what it's like to surrender our lives to our Heavenly Father. Would they know the love of God today? Would they know and be invited into the victory of Jesus, his death and resurrection on our behalf, so that we could all have life and we could all have peace? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.